Welcome to the War Report on Public Education. The future of education is an important concern for our time. Where it's heading, how it's evolving, and the influence corporate America has on its outcome. The War Report on Public Education provides critical news, analysis, and perspectives on the what, why, who, where, when, and how of both the new corporate state elites campaign, the Machiavellian agenda to destroy the nation's public education system, and the rising public resistance movement to defend and defeat this Machiavellian agenda. And now, here is our host, Dr. James Abington Miller, Jr.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the War Report. I won't say this week, just welcome back, because we've been gone for such, seemingly like a very long time. And I wasn't sure if you guys are going to remember us and who's going to be on board today. I don't know if I'm nervous, but I got a little apprehension. 2 weeks is kind of a long time, and so much can happen in 2 weeks. Who knows? But anyway, I miss you guys. I won't ask you if you missed us. I don't want to know. I don't want to get my feelings hurt. But we miss you guys. All right. Today's show. On the one hand, it's been a show that's been in the making for 3.5 years. Any of you were around when I did the first show, Deborah, I know, of course, you were, and this may ring a bell. That very, very first show, I talked about the purpose of public education. I raised the question of what is, has been, the purpose of education. And that if we understood the so-called purpose of education, we would understand so much more about what has been happening over the last 150, 60, 70 years and before Horace Mann, and what's happening at that particular time 3.5 years ago. And that same question today, what is happening? And so that when I say today's show has been in the making for 3.5 years, I'm referring back to that very, very first show. And some of you may recall, through the 3.5 years, every once in a while, I've talked specifically about the purpose of education. Because it is something, and I can't say it enough, can't say it loud enough, it is the key to everything. If you understand it, then you'll understand so much more about what has happened, why, when, where, etc. When I start putting the show together, it's also very funny in that the past 2 weeks we haven't had a show. I've been working on a project that I sort of decided that I would make it a project back in May, and in June I sort of announced it to just a handful of friends, family, that I'm going to take on this next project, very, very big project, and it had everything to do with coming to a decision about the war on public education and what the purpose of this war was, purpose of education. And there's so many tie-ins for me in terms of today's show. And so that I was working on that project over the past 2 weeks. And, of course, I was working on, indirectly, the purpose of education. And come Thursday, last Thursday, 72 hours ago, the article in The Atlantic dealing with the questions or issues pertaining to the purpose of education. After that, there was another article Then a third article, all touching on the purpose of education. And I decided, you know, is this something that's a message to me? I'm already working right now on a particular aspect of the purpose of education. I get these three articles that I discovered through my research, and I'm saying, are they telling me that I should talk about the purpose of education? And so I decided that that's what this show would be about. And it's sort of like very timely. Parents, teachers, you're coming back to school. Some of you have been in school a week or two, maybe three. And that issue of, what are you doing? Why are you teachers? Why are you there? What are you doing to further whatever the purpose of education is in your school, your district? Parents, you're sending your kids off to school, back to school. Well, one, you have to because it's mandatory up until they're, depending on what state you're in, 16, 17, 18 years old. But aside from that, why are you sending your kids to school? What's your purpose in sending your kids to school? Again, put aside the fact that it's mandatory. But your purpose, is it in line with the purpose of education as it's spelled out in your district, as it's spelled out in your state, as it's spelled out nationally? How many of you even think about this question of the purpose of education? Back to teachers. You go to school, it's a job. Or is it more than a job? Is it going back to school or going to school each day? Does it serve a purpose for you? What's that purpose? Are you satisfying whatever the need is for you to be a teacher that makes you want to be a teacher? This whole notion of purpose. And you remember when I talk about purpose, I'm talking about why. And I've always said that why is the most important question and answer there is. My both personal and professional opinion, it's always the why. If you know the why, you'll be able to figure out the what, the when, the where, the how, the who. Everything will flow around the why. So, let me ask you a couple of questions. Teachers, what is the purpose of education? To you personally, professionally? Is your notion of the purpose of education in line with what's happening in your school, in your district? Your notion of your purpose, or what you think the purpose of education is it today the same as it was when you started teaching, especially the veteran teachers? Is the purpose of education the same when you were in school? Has there been a shift in the purpose of education from X to Y, and before X, even Z, WXYZ. So this is a very, very important question. And the three articles that I referenced a moment ago, each in their way raise this question of the purpose of education, each in its own way, question the purpose of education today in terms of, have we lost our way to some extent in terms of what the purpose of education should be? And then each had its own answer. And there was some, degrees of similarities and the questions that they raise, as well as the degrees of similarity in terms of the answers. I will say, from my point of view, they didn't hit what I think, or didn't nail what I think is the purpose of education, and what I've always thought the purpose of education was, should be. And so I decided that I would talk about some of the ideas that they mentioned in those articles, and I'll talk about some of the ideas that I have. And I'm going to give the call-in number, hoping that maybe I've started some of you to think and to have an emotional reaction to the question. And if so, give us a call in so that you can tell us what you think the purpose of education is today, what you think it should be, what would you like for it to be. Very simple, but extremely complex question. That call-in number is 888-627-6008. Let me repeat, 888-627-6008. Okay. If you got our promotion, it went something like this. I advance a proposition that basically says that the war on public education is and has always been a war on the purpose of public education. Let me repeat that. The war on public education today has always been a war on the purpose of education. I also go on to say that the war on public education and the purpose of education is one and the same. What am I saying here? Now, through the past 3.5 years, you know, we've talked about this in many different guises, and one that I will bring up now, and I think, you know, if you've been around, you will definitely remember this. Remember me saying that both for Adolf Hitler and Joseph Stalin, the phrase, "He who controls the curriculum controls the future." And then I added that also, he who controls the curriculum also controls the past, because he can rewrite the past. And then I said something to the effect, remember that phrase, the spoils of war. You know, when you defeat your enemy, you then take from your enemy all the things that were of value to your enemy and to you if you were going after those things, and says that the spoils of war in this case is you take control of public education, you take control of the curriculum. You take control of the curriculum, then you use that curriculum and you're controlling it to spell out your purpose of education. This is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. This is when we're going to do it, because I say so, and you will follow. So that war in itself, or any war, fought for many reasons. And I can't think of, and I'm not a historian, and I've said it 100 times, but I can't think of any war where the side that started a war, did so with the intent of losing? I mean, you historians out there, you can enlighten me, but I can't recall any war, major or minor, where the principals starting a war said, oh, we'll do this for the purpose of losing war. When I was thinking about that earlier, there was a movie back in the 1950s, and it was called The Mouse That Roared. It was a book before the movie. It was a funny comedy, Peter Sellers. And if you remember the actor Peter Sellers, almost every movie that he was in, he would play multiple characters. And in this movie, he was the president of a very small country in Europe. Their only source of economic exchange was a wine that they produced, and something happens, and the people who were buying the wine stopped buying their wine and were using maybe another brand of wine. And this poor country was going to be destitute. And someone comes up, one of Peter Sellers' characters comes up with the idea, we shall declare war on the United States. I mean, maybe this country was big as 20, 30, 50, 60 blocks here in Buffalo. And we're talking, I mean, again, this is a fiction, this was a comedy. And so the idea was, we'll start this war for the purpose of course, losing the war, because we have absolutely no chance of winning. But we lose the war, then the United States will give us all types of aid, like they do when they defeat other countries. They give them big, huge aid package to rebuild the infrastructure, to rebuild this, rebuild that. So here's a country, fictional country, who starts a war with the U.S., and they come to the U.S. I'm laughing here because, I mean, this is an old movie. We're talking over 50 years ago. I get that. But it was hilarious. Four or five of them get on a boat. They come across this line. They land in New York. They're dressed in ancient armor, spears, and what have you. Bottom line is, they accidentally come in at a time in New York when there is a major disaster and the city has been cleared out and what have you. And they, bottom line, they come upon a new nuclear bomb, small enough to be carried. They don't quite know what they got, but they got this bomb. Then they capture some people, one guy who made the bomb, the whole nine yards. They go back to their country. The U.S. freaks out because this bomb is the bomb of all bombs. You remember the U.S. dropped the bombs in World War II, Hiroshima, Nagasaki. They beat the Russians to the ability to drop the atomic bomb. Now they got the bomb of all bombs. The bomb, dropping one bomb would wipe out an entire country. So the U.S. and the world is trying to negotiate with this tiny country to get this bomb, and the U.S. tried to get it back so that it wouldn't be used against them, and Russia, China, all the other countries trying to get it so that they would have it. And the bottom line is, this little small country has this idea that they go to war to lose so that they could get aid to rebuild their country so their country could survive. They end up getting this bomb. Then the world wants to get it from them. Now they have all this power, and what they're going to do with it, and they end up, U.S. gets the bomb. Well, U.S. makes a deal. The country keeps the bomb, but U.S. does the aid, and everything is fine. That was the only example that I could come up with in terms of a country that goes to war to lose. So, the war on public education, the people who started this war had no intentions of losing, all the intentions of being victorious. And as I've said, the war on public education is just one theater of the war. The overall big picture, we talked about neoliberalism. Public education, K through 12, along with the PhD, it's just a theater in the war. Winning the war, and they have been so far, they are able to define what the purpose of public education is going to be. They've been able to shift the purpose of public education. And they're not the first. There have been many others before them who have shifted or redefined what the purpose of public education should be. They're just doing it now. And you know this to be true. All you have to do is think about the Common Core standards. They developed the Common Core standard. They got governors to sign on to it before it was even put together, before anyone had ever seen it. And then once it was put together, it was implemented without any public input, any input from teachers, parents, school boards, you name it, because the governors had said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to sign on to this, making this the national standard, shifting the responsibility for standards from individual states to a national phenomenon. Not a federal thing. They're very careful not to do that. And you already know this. But by having each of the governors of the individual states signing on to the same platform, you in essence have a national platform. That is, he who controls the curriculum, controls the future, as well as the capability of rewriting the past. Standardized testing. The minute you're able to get individual states signing on to this notion of basically the standardized test movement, making it a national phenomenon, you're changing the name of the game. You're changing the purpose of education. And why are you doing it? You're back to the why. Why are you doing it? And so that you change the purpose, you change it for a reason. Public education then is changed from the top all the way down to the bottom. And the question, one question that pops up, why the change? Why the change in purpose? But you have to recognize that there is a purpose behind it. You have to recognize there was a purpose before this, quote, deform movement started. As we talked about, this has been five or six school reforms since Horace Mann in Massachusetts started this notion of a common schools there in Massachusetts that has spread across the United States, where the citizens of the city, or the, I'm sorry, of the state, through taxes, are responsible for setting up and maintaining a public school system. And then eventually it became mandatory that parents had to send their kids to school up to a certain age. And there was a purpose behind that. But let's go back even further. You know the names, Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, and others, they all had something to say about the necessity of educating, quote, the citizens, hence the responsibility as to who should pay the bill for educating the citizens, and what that education should do, the purpose. From the very beginning, there's always been a purpose as it relates to education and everything else too, but we're talking about education here. Who you're going to educate versus who you're not going to educate as a purpose for that. How you're going to educate, when you're going to educate, who's going to be the educator as a purpose for all of those decisions. So when I talk about there's a war on public education, I'm saying there's a war on the purpose of education. They want to change the purpose of education. And they're succeeding. They have been. But if you don't see that, if you haven't made that connection yet in terms of war on public education equals a war on really the purpose of education. And as I said, I think in that promotion, the war on public education and the purpose of education is one and the same. One and the same. And what I was, the message that I was giving out, and I did say this in the promotion, that to understand the historical war on public education, and it has been, folks, you know, it hasn't been as pronounced as it is now and has been since, especially, I say, 2002 when Bush signed No Child Left Behind. That was a formal declaration of war on public education. You know my story. I take it all the way back to Sputnik. And then A Nation at Risk. All of those periods. But even before that, there was always this war to control public education. And I've talked about this, that even when Horace Mann and others, the business elite, wanted a seat at the table, they wanted to help define the purpose of education. And they wanted the schools to produce, mass produce, year after year, young adults, children, whatever, who could come out and go to work in the factories, in the fields, wherever. But they needed people to be able to read and write and function at least a level to be able to come in out of school into the world of work. Go back further to slavery, when they didn't want the slaves to get an education. Slave owners trained them to do certain jobs. And if the job became complicated, then they would provide some rudiment of education so that the person could do a particular job or set of jobs. There's always been this control the purpose, define the purpose of education. Back to where we are, and what I was saying is to understand or to recognize the historical war on public education, that one only has to see it. First of all, you have to see it as a war. on the purpose of education. And if you can see that, then you go to where I've also said time and time again, who will control and define the why? Why being the purpose of education? And in whose interest the new purpose of education will serve? Now, when I've talked in the past about, you know, neoliberalism and the Machiavellian agenda, and I've talked about the end game there was the privatization of everyone and everything, all of humanity and the planet. That's a curriculum. That's a pedagogy. I'm hesitating because I want that to sink in. The control of everyone and everything. That's our agenda. That's our end game. How are we going to do it? It's through privatization. How we're going to get to privatization is through the destruction of public education. And why are we doing it? What's our purpose? Our purpose is to be able to control the curriculum, destroy and replace. Just like, what is it for Obamacare? Repeal and replace. In their case, destroy and replace. What are they replacing? They're replacing the purpose of education. Not the physical buildings that kids go into, per se. No. Not so much the structure. There still will be, quote, teachers until they're replaced with AI, artificial intelligent computers. That's another show, but that's part of the game plan. They still want to have the kids to be educated, and now we have education anytime, anywhere. You don't need a teacher. You don't need a classroom. You don't need a building. And I'm not talking about just homeschooling. I'm talking about the ability to plug in to your education program anywhere, anytime, 24/7, 365, anywhere on the planet that you can get internet. That's all a purposeful objective. So, am I making sense to anyone in terms of saying that the purpose of education, what is it? Raising that question of what is it? And why anyone wants to control it? And if they do, what's going to be their purpose? And what's going to be the new purpose of education? Back to the three articles that I referenced earlier. Each of the individuals, and there are principally two individuals. One was a woman teacher. The article was in The Atlantic Thursday of this past week. And it basically dealt with the question of, as Americans, or basically it was a statement, Americans have given up on public education, public schools. And that, in this author's mind, that's a mistake. And the reason why this author said it was a mistake, and this author was a teacher and a parent, and she was saying that there are many reasons she was saying that it was a mistake for Americans to give up on public education. our main reason was that we're forgetting that the real purpose of public education has been its value and educating people for American style notion of citizenship and democracy. Didn't mean to mangle that, but that's it. To her, public education, its value, is the country has forgotten its purpose. That she makes no mistake about, that Americans have forgotten the value of public education and the value that's in its purpose. And that purpose, as I mentioned, is to educate and grow future democratic citizens. What do you think? And going back to Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin and writers of that, influential people of that period, that was the purpose of education. You know this, Jefferson. Everyone can quote Jefferson. I don't care where you went to school. Jefferson's thing was that this new thing called a republic, this democratic republic, could only survive if it had informed citizens, people who could read and write, people who could assess, evaluate arguments, conditions, and arrive at a reasonably objective decision and act accordingly, and that it would be the purpose of public education. And they didn't call it public education then, but you know what I mean. It would be the purpose of public education to do that. That was a function. That was its main value. Benjamin Franklin said pretty much the same thing there in Pennsylvania. And in fact, he was the father of the University of Pennsylvania and there in Philadelphia. And his vision was that the university would be basically the main vehicle for this training of young people to become democratic citizens and be able to function and keep alive the democratic structure of a country. Now, of course, they had a different idea of democratic country. Only men could vote, women couldn't, blacks were three-fifths human, Native Americans didn't count at all. So, but there was education and the need for it and a specific purpose for education. The second article was a gentleman in Vermont who is a vice chair of the, I guess, State Education Commission. And he went quite a bit into, in his article, that the paramount purpose for building and sustaining a universal public education was to basically nurture democracy. Back to that notion of the school's job is to not just prepare you for college and career, like Obama was saying, and now that guy in Chicago, Rahm Emanuel, he says college, career, and military. I briefly mentioned that in the last few weeks. Yes, Rahm Emanuel is saying that you, in order to get your diploma, you can pass the exams and all that other stuff, but in order to get your diploma, you must provide a plan. You're going to go into college. Have you applied, and have you been accepted? Or you want to go career. What's going to be your career? Have you been able to secure a job or a promise of a job? If you can't, you don't get your diploma. Oh, but if you say you sign up for the military and can prove that you signed up for the military, you can get your diploma. You can pop in the military and get your diploma. So it's like agreeing to go in the military supersedes the fact that you just spent 4 years in high school taking all these courses and all the other things that you have to go through to get to the point where you, quote, earn your diploma. If you can't say you're going to college and prove it, you're going into a career and prove it, you can go in the military. Every time I said it to myself, it just blows my mind. I went in the military right out of high school at 17, and I literally went in the military so that I could go to college. Literally, figuratively. We had no money, So I decided that rather than be drafted a year later when I turned 18, I'd go in the military of my choice. Hopefully, I went in the Air Force. Hopefully, of the 4 years there, I would be able to get 2 years college work in wherever I was, correspondence, or going to a university nearby the base, whatever. I'd get 2 years in, get out of the military, GI Bill, I'd be able to finish. So, you know, Rahm Emanuel, I know that thing too. But here's the point, and I know I'm off track, and I'm coming back on track. But here's the deal. When I went in the military, we were not at war at that point. Later, Vietnam, yes. Today, the U.S. have troops, boots on the ground that we know of, that they say yes, over 150 countries. I don't know how many sets of boots we have on grounds where it's covert and they're not talking about it. I'm off track because this pisses me off so much that you're saying to these young kids, if you're not going to college, if you don't have a job and can't prove it, you can get your diploma if you volunteer, join the military so that you can be trained and sent to anywhere we have boots on the ground or we're planning to put boots on the ground. Folks, you hearing this, if you're hearing for the first time, you should be livid as hell. We're talking about your kids, your students, what have you, having to put their lives on the line to get a diploma that they've already earned. I digress, I know, I'm sorry. No, I'm not, but I digress. Back to what I was saying. The gentleman, William Mathis is his name, Vermont Board of Education, and he talks about the primary purpose or the paramount purpose for building and sustaining a universal public education was to nurture democracy. And that we are losing, if we not haven't already lost our purpose. We measure the wrong things in terms of the standardized testing and the high-stakes testing. And I would add to that, not only that, but, of course, we're teaching the wrong things. Close reading. Computer-aided teaching, where you have more time sitting in front of a computer screen than you do with a teacher. You go through a whole year and have minimal time with a teacher. And this could be year after year. And one of the most important, roles that teachers can play in the lives of their students is developing a relationship with their students and the students with their teachers. Teachers are powerful, powerful influences on their students. And you guys, you know this already. You know that if a teacher shows that he or she cares, that they seek to relate to you on an individual level, that lights up so many students. But so many students don't have a parent playing that role. Think about it. With the advent of women going into the labor field after war, well, somewhat during World War II, but certainly after World War II, fathers, if present, going into the labor field, they see the kid maybe 3-4 hours, maybe, each day, 5 days a week, whereas a teacher could spend 6 hours a day or more with a child, the relationship potential and the significance of it exponentially grows in many, many situations where the teacher becomes the paramount person that a good relationship, just saying hello, Johnny, and knowing the name and knowing something about him, could be the difference in a kid dropping out, getting suspended, being pushed out, being pushed into the school-to-prison pipeline. That is being lost, and that's being lost purposefully. So back to the purpose of education again. And this gentleman, who I really liked his argument here when he was talking about that, you know, we're losing our purpose. And to show that we are losing our purpose, we measure the wrong things, in his opinion. And we don't, of course, we take in art, literature, the humanities, much of the social studies out of our curriculum. We narrow the curriculum to we're just looking at science, literacy, math. We're teacher the test. And our everything rests on a test score, so that step back and look at what I just said. I mean, you teachers, you've been talking about this for years now. You're no longer able to practice your craft. Be creative, because you have to teach to a script that says, at 9:17, you should be here. At 10:10, you should be here. And if you're not here, there's something wrong with you. And if your kids don't score well on the high-stakes standardized test, it's your fault. What I just said tells each and every one of you, all the parents, the purpose of education. The purpose of education now is to prepare students on a narrowly based curriculum and pedagogy to come to the funnel that I always talk about. When you invert the funnel, the big end is up. You pour all the students in, and they whirl around, and those who come out at the end are standardized, standardized minds, standardized behavior, standardized values, standardized goals, standardized methods. of how they're going to achieve it, and all of it is to serve the interest of the new corporate state that we talk about under the Machiavellian agenda, and it's all purposeful. It's all part of the new purpose of education. I don't know if any of you see it the way in which I've just laid it out and the way in which I've been talking about it for 3.5 years, but it all comes back. Everything that I've talked about here, literally the foundation for everything that I've talked about, grows from the purpose of public education as it exists today. And when I ask the question at the top of the show in terms of what is your definition, your theory, your premise of the purpose of education, is it still the same today as it was when you first started teaching? Is it still today what it was when you first made your mind up that you want to be a teacher? And what was the purpose when you made your mind up that you wanted to be a teacher? What was your purpose when you got into college and majored in education, if you're in a state that allows you to get an undergraduate major in education? What was the purpose in your mind then when you got that first job? What was both the purpose of the district, the state, the country, and what was your purpose? Was your purpose aligned with those entities that I just mentioned? Was there a balance there in terms of your purpose balanced out with their purpose? Is there a mismatch now? So many teachers have, when I did the road trip, the show, email, Facebook, what have you, have complained about things have changed so much that they don't recognize who they are anymore as a teacher. That's all the purpose, because the curriculum follows the purpose. Pedagogy follows the purpose. Parents, most of you don't get into what I talked about in terms of the curriculum and the pedagogy and what the real purpose of if the kids are doing well in school and what have you. If you are not into what I've just talked about, you should be. What is your purpose? I mean, I know, again, you have to send your kids to school, but why do you send your kid to a school that costs you $40,000 a year for kindergarten, first grade, second grade, and not to your neighborhood school? Why do you send your kid to the best, quote, school in the district if you can? Why do you move into a neighborhood that costs you an arm and leg and your next three kids so that your kid can go to this school versus the neighborhood school that you would, your kid would have gone to had you stayed in that old neighborhood? It's the why behind all of this, which is the purpose. You have to understand the why, folks, of your own behavior as parents, as teachers, your school, your district, your state, your country, because it is the why. Now, I'm running out of time. I was planning, and I'm not sure now, from the work that I told you at the top of the show that I've been doing for the last few months, there's a big section on the purpose of education and a big section on the democratic participation that we need from all of our citizens. And I argue that our schools, kindergarten, first grade, second, third grade, all the way up to high school, should have as part of this purpose, not just college and career ready, but there should be at least a third one, the preparation of future democratic citizens who participate in democracy, participate in a society that is pluralistic, who experience a curriculum that, and a pedagogy to follow that curriculum that is based upon social justice, you then are able to prepare your students, prepare your child to be an active participant in the running of this country when he or she turns 18 and can vote and they're active, become an activist. That, if I do this, it will be next week, and that would be what the show is about. I'll have to assess it and how I feel about how I did today, but thank you. I'm back. Hopefully you're back, and we've got a lot to cover going forward. Have a good rest of your Sunday, people. Hopefully, see you next week.
Join us again next time as we explore and become aware of the most pressing problem of our time, education, corporate America, and their unholy alliance.